Could you turn tonight in the scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And when you have found that place, if you could turn over to Mark's Gospel, rather, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And I want to read two passages that focus upon the same event, the corresponding accounts of the same event. And I want to look tonight upon the subject, beginning to preach, as this is the beginning of the gospel mission. I want us to consider this subject when the Lord began to preach. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and we'll read at verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then turning to Mark's account, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14. "Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel.'" Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. So we bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank thee tonight for the opportunity to meet in this fashion around the open Bible. We acknowledge tonight, Lord, that this is thy word. It is that word that shineth in a dark place. It is that word that makes us wise unto salvation. It is that word that illuminates the way to thyself. We pray tonight, Lord, that the light will shine brightly in this meeting, and that that light will penetrate into the dark heart. Open the heart, open the eyes of the understanding. And we pray especially tonight, Lord, for those who are gathered in our midst, who as yet do not know thee as Savior. We pray that thy Holy Spirit will graciously work in their hearts. Apply the word with power, that they may be brought to see their need of a Savior. And may grace be given to them, that this night, before this meeting ends, that they will repent and believe the gospel. Show us Christ tonight. And we ask that in all things he shall have the preeminence. We ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. A gospel mission is both a solemn and a special time in the life of a church, and in the life of a community in which that mission is conducted. It's a time of preparation and prayer, a time of concentrated activity and effort to bring men and women into contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a time especially for people who do not know the Lord. people who perhaps have been attending the house of God for many a day and yet do not know the Lord. It's a time also for people who are unfamiliar with a church environment. People not used with attending God's house. And if that should describe anyone here tonight, then let me emphasize this fact. This mission and this meeting tonight is especially for you. There's many here in this meeting who know the Lord, perhaps been saved for many a day. But if there's anyone here who is a stranger to this house of God, perhaps never been in this house of God before, I do not know your case. I do not know your circumstances. But as I look out over this congregation tonight, it may well be the case that there's someone here unfamiliar with a church environment. Then let me say very especially, this meeting is for you. This service and this time of gospel mission is for you. The meetings are designed to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ in the hope that you will come to know Him personally, and in knowing Him, to receive life eternal. That's my aim tonight in this opening meeting. And indeed, through the course of these gospel meetings, my aim is very plain, very simple. It is the task of setting before you the Lord Jesus Christ as He is revealed to us in the Scriptures of truth. My desire is that we might consider Him, why He came, what He said, what He did, and how you can come to Him, how you can meet Him, how you can know Him, and in knowing Him, to enter into life everlasting. We have read together of the commencement of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was upon this earth. For 30 years the Lord Jesus lived upon this earth, and for all of that time, excepting one occasion when He was 12 years of age, for all of that time His life was one shrouded in silence and in seclusion. But now He steps out of the shadows upon the public stage of Israel and commences a ministry that will draw thousands after Him. A ministry that will have the effect of drawing many from all walks of life. Multitudes. He commences a ministry that will eventually provoke the jealousy and the wrath of the religious leaders, and will result in His trial, His condemnation, and His death. But far from obliterating His name, that short public ministry of 3.5 years and the shameful death upon a cross that followed will become a theme of global attention, causing innumerable multitudes from all nations to gladly identify Jesus of Nazareth as their Lord and Savior. I want us tonight to consider the beginning of Christ's ministry upon this earth. And through the course of these nights, I want us to take the time to follow the footsteps of Christ upon the sands of time. I want us to sit with the people that flock to hear Him. And I want us to observe Him. I want us to see what He did when He was upon this earth. And I want us to hear what He said. Do you notice the emphasis here in verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4? From that time, Jesus began to preach. beginning his ministry, beginning his preaching, and as that veil of secrecy and seclusion is drawn back, and the Lord Jesus steps upon the public stage, you will notice that he had something to say. He began to preach, saying, and I want us, as the Lord will allow us, and as the Lord will tarry, I want us night by night to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear what he said, to listen to his word, to observe him and consider him. But before we come to consider what he said, I think it's vital for us to consider who he is. Who is this person that our attention is drawn to? Who is this man who steps forth to engage upon a ministry that drew thousands to hear him? Who is he? My aim is to introduce to you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice here in this text in Matthew's Gospel that Matthew, as well as Mark, refer to him by his name. From that time, Jesus began to preach. It's a name that signifies the deliverer. Literally means Savior, the deliverer, the Savior. It's a name that was given to him by divine appointment, by a heavenly messenger. If you turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, you will find there that time when the angel Gabriel was sent from God to Mary. And the angel tells Mary that a supernatural conception will be wrought within her womb. She will conceive and she will bring forth a son. Verse number 31 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. It's the first time that the name is given. Mary is told that this child whom she would bear in her womb must be called Jesus. But the angel did not stop there. Mary is inquisitive and she says in verse 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee. He does not refer to the conception of a person, but to the conception of a nature, that holy thing, that holy nature, that holy humanity that would be conceived and brought forth. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Who is he? This man who began to preach, this man to whom thousands flocked to hear him, this man who provoked so much jealousy and rage and wrath, this man nailed to a cross of shame. Who is he? He's the Son of God. The Son of God. An angel was sent to Joseph. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And Joseph, knowing that Mary, his espoused wife, was expecting a child, was thrown into a great turmoil. They had not yet been brought together in the marriage union. But in the perplexity of his mind, the Lord sent an angel to him, verse 20 of Matthew 1. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Again, the message is given, the instruction is imparted, that this child must be called Jesus. But you'll notice that the angel did not stop there. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When the angel came to Mary, he said, you're going to give birth to a child. And this child will be the Son of God. When the angel came to Joseph, he explained to Joseph what was going to happen. And he said, Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, and this child will be Emmanuel, God with us. When we refer to Jesus of Nazareth as being the Son of God, we are referring to the fact of his deity, that he is God with us. He is the Son of God and God the Son. The one who spoke this world into existence, the one who called forth this universe into being, is the one who began to preach in the region of Galilee. He's the Son of God. And as we come during the course of these meetings to watch him, to observe him, to listen to him, I want us to be absolutely clear in our minds as we do so that he is the Son of God and God the Son. And in order to help us to reach that conclusion, I want tonight to bring to this pulpit some witnesses. I want to make it absolutely clear that there is a consistent testimony born throughout the Scripture that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Will you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1? And the first witness that we must consider tonight is John the Baptist. John chapter 1. According to the order of time, John was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And yet when the day came when Jesus stood before John, John had something to say of him which was truly staggering. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And yet on that occasion when John sees the Lord, he points him out. And the people that are gathered round about him, he would have them to know that this person who now stands in their midst is one who existed from all eternity. This is he says. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 32, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Now he's referring to that time when the Lord Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan. And on that occasion he heard the voice of God the Father say, this is my beloved Son. Look what he says in verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. John was the messenger sent before the face of the Lord, the one of whom Malachi did speak. And as he bears witness, even before the Lord commenced his ministry, that testimony to the fact that he was the Son of God had already been given by John the Baptist. Who is he? The answer of John the Baptist is clear. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. But let me bring some other witnesses tonight to this pulpit. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And in that chapter we hear the testimony of the Lord's disciples. Those who followed the Lord. Those who had that wonderful privilege of being in his presence, listening to his word, seeing his works, beholding him day in and day out. As they watched him, there was a conviction born within their soul. A conviction to which they bear testimony in this chapter. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now the Lord is coming near to the time of his death. It's about 6 months away from Calvary. Beginning to turn his direction to the cross. 3 years have passed. 3 years of public ministry. And by that time, opinions had been formed in the minds of the people as to who he was. And people were talking about him. His name was a household name in Israel. And the Lord says to the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. The disciples had listened. They had heard the opinion of the public as to what men were saying. But notice here how the Lord turns the question upon them. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter steps forth. And he answers and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here are men who have accompanied Jesus of Nazareth. They have watched him. They have listened to him. They have followed him. And as they have watched him, they have come to the realization that he is the Son of the living God. Notice what the Lord said in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. When a man and a woman comes to that point of realization that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, it is then that they are truly blessed. Blessed art thou. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Isn't it interesting that the Lord did not rebuke Simon Peter for describing him as the Son of the living God? He did not chastise him, but he pronounces him blessed. Let me tell you tonight, friend, if you come to the realization, if you come to that place where you recognize that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, you will be truly blessed. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And let me bring more witnesses tonight. They do not belong to the race of mankind. They belong to the angelic world. But they're not holy angels. They're fallen angels. And in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29, the Lord crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the other side, to the region of the Gadarenes. And there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Listen to the language of demons, the fallen angels. And when Jesus of Nazareth stands in their presence, they recognize who he is. He is the Son of God. The very testimony of hell tonight is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They knew who he was. Isn't it so sad that men and women in this world do not even have the same knowledge as the very demons of the pit of hell have? They knew who he was. They recognized his deity. They recognized their Creator. For these same evil spirits, each one individually created, had been created by him. Tell me tonight, tell me, have you recognized your Creator in the person of Jesus of Nazareth? He's the Son of God. But let me bring tonight another witness. This time the witness of a man who hated the very name of Jesus. You turn to Acts chapter 9. You'll discover there a man who lived only to suppress the name of Jesus and all who showed allegiance to him. A man who lived to afflict the people who went by the name of Christian. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound and chained on to Jerusalem. Here's a man who hated the name of Jesus, who hated everything to do with his name, and devoted his life, his energy, his strength to suppressing the cause of Christ. And yet on this occasion, on the Damascus road, he met the very one whose name he despised. Verse number 5. As Saul lay upon the road, on his face, He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That moment marked the moment of Saul's conversion. And the Bible tells us in verse number 20, when he was brought into to Damascus, that straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Who is he? Who is he? Listen, listen to the voice of one who hated him. Of one who despised him and sought to destroy his church. Listen to his testimony. Immediately he came into contact with Jesus of Nazareth. Immediately he bears testimony. This is the Son of God. You know what Paul said? Many years after this time, in his letter to the Galatians, he said, The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That day on the Damascus Road, he realized that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. And that as the Son of God, he had left heaven's splendor and come down into this sinful world out of love for a sinner like Paul. That love led him along the sandy, dusty roads of Israel, through the narrow streets of Jerusalem to that lonely hill called Golgotha, where he gave his life to pay the ransom to release Saul from the curse of a broken law and from the guilt of a sin. And Paul testifies, this is the Son of God. Wonder of wonders, the Son of God loved me, a sinner like me. And he gave himself for me. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. There's never been a story like it. The greatest message that the sons and daughters of men can ever hear and will ever hear. The Son of God loved sinners and gave himself to pay the price for their redemption in the coinage of his own precious blood. Am I speaking tonight to a man, a woman in this meeting, just like Saul of Tarsus before that event on the Damascus Road? Could it be tonight you've come to this meeting and in your heart there has been enmity, there's been hatred against the very name of Jesus? Yet God has brought you to this meeting. He has brought you to this meeting to reveal his Son to you, that you might come to see that he is the Son of God. Fall on your knees as Saul did, and confess him as your Lord. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But let me give you one last witness tonight. It's found in the Gospel of John chapter 9. What a wonderful chapter this is. Begins with the sad and sorry plight of a man blind from birth. Think about that. A man who had never seen the light of the sun, never observed the beauty of the flowers, the colors of the rainbow, He had lived in darkness all his days, literally, physically. And yet, on this occasion, this man is cured of his blindness. For he came into contact with the Lord Jesus. He was asked afterwards how this came to be. Verse 10, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes. And said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. A man that is called Jesus. That's all he knew him as at the first instance. A man that is called Jesus. It was a time of mounting hostility against the Lord. Jewish leaders had already taken the decision that if anyone should identify with him, that they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. The man is found in a terrible position. The leaders want him to deny that Jesus is the Christ of God. But he can only tell it as he is, as it happened to him. Verse 25, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I see. That's all I can tell you, he says. But because of his testimony, he was put out of the synagogue. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, isn't that wonderful? You know, there is a cost to pay for identifying with Christ. He was put out of the synagogue for identifying with Christ. But there's a far greater price to pay for not identifying with him. And although he was put out, the Lord Jesus went in search of him and he found him. Isn't it good when you side with Christ and you face the hostility of an unbelieving world that the Lord Jesus draws alongside and he accompanies his people? The Lord sought him. The Lord found him. And notice the question that he asked him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? You see, up until this time, all the man knew was that his name was Jesus. He's convinced that he must be of God. For no man could do these miracles except God was with him. He's convinced that this man is sent of God. He knows that his name is Jesus. But the Lord has come to bring him further. And he puts the question and he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. The first sight this man saw was the face of the incarnate God. The first sight he saw was the face of Jesus. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Do you need any clearer testimony tonight? We have listened to the testimony of John. We have listened to the testimony of his disciples. We have listened to the testimony of demons. We have listened to the testimony of a man who once was his fiercest enemy. But here's the testimony of Christ himself. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I should believe on him? Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And they worshipped him. Do you see the consistent testimony of the Word of God? You cannot read the Scriptures of truth. You cannot read this book without seeing the repeated declaration that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. Men may disbelieve that he is the Son of God, but they cannot deny the existence of the claim. Repeatedly. It's unmistakable. It's undeniable. Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. And that claim confronts you tonight. Christ's question travels down through the centuries of time, and it comes to you. And it says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? Young person, do you believe on the Son of God? Older person, man, woman, boy, girl, do you believe on the Son of God? Upon that question rests your eternity. Upon that question rests heaven or hell. Do you believe on the Son of God? The Apostle John, as he neared the end of his epistle, chapter 20 and verse 30, he says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. True saving faith acknowledges, receives, accepts, and rejoices in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is God with us. He is God manifest in flesh. And that believing, ye might have life through his name. On this question tonight rests eternity. On this question rests heaven or hell. Do you believe on the Son of God? From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, but before we listen to anything that he said, as we will endeavor to do in the nights that follow in God's will, before we listen to anything that he said, we must see who he is. The testimony is clear. He is the Son of God. Do you believe on the Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for their redemption, their salvation upon the cross of shame? I trust tonight, and I pray that you will be like this man, cured of his blindness, that you will say, Lord, I believe. And may you fall at his feet and worship him, receiving him as your Lord and as your Savior. May God give you the grace tonight to believe on the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Shall we bow together in prayer? And in a few moments the meeting will be ended. The first gospel meeting of this gospel mission ended. Passed out into God's eternity. Tonight there's an opportunity for you to be saved. I said at the beginning, this meeting and this mission is for your sake, for your benefit, especially for you who to this point have not known the Lord. The opportunity tonight is given, it is extended to you to come to Christ, to believe on His name, so that believing you might have life through His name. The question is very simple tonight. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Son of God? Will you receive Him as your Savior? Will you take Him tonight as your Lord and as your Redeemer? Will you yield your heart and your life to Him? Just in the closing moments, in the silence and secrecy of your own heart, call upon His name. Confess your sin. Trust in His finished work upon the cross. And all who trust in Him, the Word of God gives us the assurance, shall be saved for all eternity. We're here to help you tonight, and we will do so in whatever way we can to help you to Christ, to show you God's way of salvation. And if you are troubled tonight, my friend, wait behind. Make the need known. You can see Mr. Greer or myself. And together we will show you the way of God's salvation. Seek the Lord tonight and be saved. Be saved ere it be too late. Father, we thank Thee tonight for sending Thy beloved Son into this world. We thank Thee for the testimony of Scripture so clear that He is the Son of God, that He came because of His love for sinners, and He went to a cross of shame to give His life for them, that through His death we might live eternally. Lord, help the unbeliever tonight, the unsaved soul in this meeting, to believe on the Son of God, and that believing they will receive life through His name. Bless, Lord, the remaining nights in the mission, and may there be a moving of Thy Spirit, that sinners will be saved by the grace of God. Be with us now, Lord, as we separate and go our various ways. Take us to our homes in safety. And may the blessing of the Lord be the abiding portion of all the Lord's redeemed people. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.